as we serve the Lord.
So I want to share some things about mothers today that God has put in my heart for mothers and for us all. And would you join with me in prayer as we go into these things? Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us to read your word, to hear your word preached, to allow your Holy Spirit to take this word and to plant it in our hearts. I pray that you would make it fruitful in our lives and that we would be able to be doers of the word by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So when we consider mothers, I want to share with you three biblical facts about mothers. And the first fact that I want to share that comes from the Bible is mothers receive equal honor with father. Look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 says this: honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You see that there? And so the Old Testament shares with us the fact that we are to honor our father and mother. And that's equal honor, ladies and gentlemen. I know that there are times that people think that the father is the patriarch. He's the one that's the breadwinner. He's the one that, you know, you do what I say. And I think it's unfortunate that oftentimes mothers are overshadowed by the role of the father. But let me help you understand, the role of the father and the role of the mother, they're equally important. Hallelujah. I saw somebody praising the Lord. They are equally important. It's not a higher role than one than the other. They are equal roles. Therefore, mothers receive equal honor with fathers. I like what the New Testament says. The New Testament continues to give us this thought that was established in the old. Look at Ephesians. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. It says this: children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And look at what he refers to. He says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. There it is again. Now, I love what the scripture says here, because what it does is it covers two types of children, two types of child, if you will. The children obey your parents are those children that are in the care of their parents. And today we're talking specifically about mothers. So those children are children who are in the care of their mother. Usually we stay in the care of our mother, you know, up until a certain age. I remember when we were growing up, and my mom say, you're not going to leave this house till you either graduate or you are 18. And we all chose graduation, by the way. But we had to do what mama said as long as we were in mama's house. And so with that, we are to obey our parents. So those of you who are in the audience today that you're still in your mother's care, we'll say, the Bible tells you one of the ways that you can ensure a general long life is to obey your parents. To obey your parents. Oh, Pastor Will, you old school. Well, I'm just preaching what the Bible says. And the Bible says, obey your parents, right? Now I mentioned that it covers two types of child. So it covers the child that's in the home in the mother's or parents' care, but it also covers the child, the adult child. The adult child that may be on their own now and they're on their journey, they're carving out their path in life. And so the adult child is to honor their father and mother. You know, fathers and mothers make mistakes along the way. And some of you know that we didn't do it right, just right out of the book. Some of us learned along the way. And some of us got up to speed with, you know, conflict resolution and with discipline and with love and that. And some of us kind of still have missed the mark and maybe still be missing the mark. But let me let you know that if you are an adult child, God says no matter what your parent has done, there should be levels of honor. See, honor your father and mother. So I want to encourage you with that. Honor your father and mother. So the first thing we find out about mothers is mothers receive equal honor with fathers. The second thing we discover about mothers, number two, Mothers are great teachers. Hallelujah. Mothers are great teachers. Look at what Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20 says. It says this, "My son, keep your father's commandments and do not forsake the law of your mother." Everybody see that there? See, we learn a lot from our mothers. Mothers are great teachers. You know, when you look at many of the sports programs and they interview a lot of the athletes, and when athletes refer to people in their family, usually they're going to say, "I want to say hi to my mom," or "What was one of the first things you did when you made it big?" I bought my mom a house. Now, of course, we do hear times that they've done the same for fathers, but we hear more about mothers coming from the mouths of their successful children than we do of fathers. And it's because primarily mothers do a great portion of the teaching. Mothers spend time with their children. Usually they're spending time, and during those times of spending time, children are learning. I like what the Proverb chapter 31 says, and some of you know this proverb. Proverb chapter 31 is the proverb of the virtuous wife. And what's interesting about this proverb, the proverb didn't come specifically from God to the writer, who was Lemuel. It came from God through his mother to Lemuel. And look at what it says here in Proverbs chapter 31, verse 1. "The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him." Everybody see that there? Here, Lemuel was watching his mother. And I want to encourage you, go and read Proverbs chapter 31 if you're not familiar with it. And even if you are, I want to encourage you to reread it in the context of Mother's Day. Reread it in the context of what we're discussing today, and you will discover that virtuous wife, that virtuous mother, that virtuous woman displayed activities that taught her son to the degree that he was able to write it, and we see it as scripture today. See, mothers teach by example, and I want to encourage you, never underestimate what you are doing in front of your children for you mothers. Never underestimate that. Children are like sponges. They're picking up. And they're observing, they're looking. So you want to know that mothers make great teachers. You know, the story is told that a London editor submitted to Winston Churchill for his approval a list of all those who had been Churchill's teachers. And Churchill returned the list with this comment. "You have omitted to mention the greatest one of my teachers, my mother." Mothers are great teachers. And number three, mothers have godly characteristics. Let me say that again. Mothers have, they display godly characteristics, and we're going to look at those. But look at Isaiah chapter 66. I love this. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 13. It says this, "As one whom his mother comforts," everybody sees that there, "as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem." See, that's God speaking through the prophet, and God is saying, as your mother comforts, right, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. Love what Isaiah chapter 49 says. Look at what it says here. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15. "Can a woman forget her nursing child?" Now, generally speaking, the answer is no. However, there are extreme situations that occur in people's lives where the mothers are not there for their children. And we know that is not the norm. Those are usually extreme situations that are brought about by external conditions. But God says, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you." Oh, this is so good, because now what God is doing, he's showing us characteristics that a mother has that he displays, or let me say it this way, he's showing characteristics that he has that mothers display. And so you say, well, why does God and mothers have these similarities? Well, I'll tell you why. Because mothers were created in the image and likeness of God. In fact, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, some of you know this, when God created man, it says in Genesis 1, 27, so God created man in his own image. He created him male and female. He created them. Everybody see that there? So the characteristics that man received, he received from God. And so there's some masculine traits and characteristics and things that men have received. There's some feminine traits and characteristics that women have received. And then there's some traits and characteristics that we both receive as male and female, and they come from God. Oh, glory to God. What's interesting is sin has tainted us. And therefore, as a result of sin, we are all haywire. We're haywire with our thoughts. We're haywire with our emotions. And we're born in sin. But let me let you know, the original design, in that original state, the woman had characteristics of God and the man had characteristics of God. And what's interesting, although we're tainted by sin, we still bear God's characteristics. And so what I'd like to do is I'd like to talk about five characteristics of motherhood that's given from God or given by God. Five characteristics of motherhood that's given by God. Number one, God feeds his children. Oh, praise God. God feeds his children. Matthew chapter 6, 11 says, and give us this day our daily bread. It's no accident that when a woman gives birth, there's one of the first things they do is they give the child and let the child sit on the breasts of the mother. And sometimes they'll do this even before they cut the umbilical cord. They will allow that mother to bond. And the very first sustenance that child received is milk from the mother. And see, as the mother provides milk for that child, it is symbolic or typical of God providing food for you and for me. Remember when Jesus was with his disciples in John chapter 6, verse 35? Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said this, I am the bread of life. Remember that? He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. Hallelujah. Praise God. So see, we receive sustenance from God. Mothers give sustenance to their children. Praise God. And it's so important for you and I to know that that's no accident, but that's a characteristic of God that God has imprinted in mothers, that they would take care of their children, that they would feed their children. You know, one of the biblical words for God is El Shaddai. Some of you know that term, El Shaddai. El meaning God and Shad meaning breast. And I had a struggle with that in my earlier years because I was saying, well, God is not a female. And see, I didn't understand these characteristics. But what I learned is that El Shaddai, the breasted one, that means God is the source of life for you and I. And God is the source of life for you and I. And as God is our source, the woman or mothers are the source of life for their children. Did you know? Well, we know that. We know that when that seed, when that sperm hits that egg and penetrates that egg, and life begins right there in the mother's womb. And we praise God for that. So number one, God feeds his children. Number two, God provides for his children. Let me say that again. God provides for his children. Some of you know this passage by heart. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says this, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the very things that you need that he talked about in those previous verses. What we're going to wear? What are we going to eat? What are we going to do? He says, those things will be added to you. Praise God. Praise God. See, mothers are providers for their children. I was thinking, and I was thinking last night, and my mom doesn't know this. I'm glad she's on the call. My mother doesn't know that I was sitting down and I was thinking, and I was just replaying some things in my mind. And she called me last evening because she had received our Mother's Day card, and we were talking about that. And one of the things that I remember about my mother got hurt on the job, and she was bedridden for a while, and I had to take care of a lot of responsibilities and that. And there were times that it was very lean for us. I won't say we're poor, because I never identified with being poor, never knew we were poor. At this time, things were very lean and we didn't have a lot at all. In fact, I remember we made staples of government cheese and that powdered milk. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. That government cheese is thick, it's hard. You need like a hatchet to cut through it, but we had that government cheese and we had that powdered milk. And when my mom started having powdered milk delivered, it's like we never had regular milk anymore. Every time we wanted milk, it was powdered milk. And we would say to each other, "Hey, let's get some milk." And one of us would look at the other and say, "Oh, it's powdered milk. I don't want no milk." But here, I remember that mom made sure we had what we need. She provided for us. I remember one time it was real lean and it was Christmas time and mom didn't have the means of getting us gifts. And I remember this so clearly. There was a knock on our front door. And the knock on the front door, when I opened the door, because I was the oldest son, and I opened the front door, there were firemen there, and they had this big box of toys for us. And we brought those toys in the house, and we began to play with those toys, and we were never in want. I just want to thank God for who He has made mothers to be. See, some of you have your own stories about your mother, and please forgive me, I'm just compelled at this time to talk about mine in this particular message, because God gives mothers the innate ability, if you will. He embeds in them the desire to provide for their children. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, I'll tell you that as a result of circumstances such as sin and cultural influences, we may not see as much of that as we used to see back in the day. But I want to let you know that mothers are to provide for their children because God is our provider. He is. We know that Philippians chapter 4, and I'm going to say it because some of you refer to this passage when you are in need. Philippians chapter 4. Look at what it says in verse 9. It says this, "And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." And what God has done, praise God, what He's done is He's embedded that, if you will, in mothers. Mothers will do everything they possibly can for their children. Remember the two prostitutes in the Bible during King Solomon's time, and one prostitute laid on the other prostitute's child and smothered the infant. And the other prostitute's child was there. And so the one who smothered the infant took the live child, and they went before King Solomon. And the one who was the true mother of the baby said, "Hey, this woman, she smothered her child and then took my child as her child." And King Solomon, with God's wisdom, said, "Okay, well, this is what we'll do. We'll just take the child and split him in two. So both of you can have it." And the true mother of the child said, "No, no, 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 no. Give him to her, for he is her child." And what she was doing is she was making sure that she provided life for that child. Oh, I hope that you are encouraged today. Some of you may be in a situation where you're not knowing how you're going to make ends meet, or as a result of the pandemic that's sweeping our nation, you may be unemployed. There may be some things that are going on that brings about some uncertainty in your life. You may not know when the next check is coming. I want to encourage you, draw nigh unto God. I want to encourage you to get close to God. I want to encourage you to allow God to provide for you, because He is our provider. Oh, and you know what? This is not new. This is not new. I see you clapping your hands out there. This is not new. Remember, there was a widow who had a son. And there was famine in the land. In other words, there was starvation. People were starving. And the man of God, the prophet of God, went to this woman and he asked the woman, "So what's going on?" And she says, "Well, I'm going to cook this last bit of meal. I have a little cruse of oil and I have a little meal and I'm going to cook this. I'm going to prepare this, excuse me. And then I'm going to give it to my son and me and we will eat. And then after that, we're going to die." And the man of God said, "Well, go and prepare me a cake first." And the woman went and prepared the man of God a cake first. And she gave it to him to eat. And remember, this is the last bit of meal. This is the last bit of oil. And she prepared it for the man of God. And the Bible says during the whole time of the famine in the land, during the time where other people were starving, that the meal and the oil that the woman had, each day she went back, there was enough for that day. And each day she went back, there was enough for that day. She went back time and time again, and there was enough for that day. Hallelujah. See, our God is a provider. And therefore, God has made mothers to be providers. Number three, God chastens his children. God chastens his children. And we find this here in Hebrews chapter 12. Look at what it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5, the end part of verse 5. It says this: "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son he receives." Everybody see that there? Oh, it's so beautiful to know that our Heavenly Father, he does issue correction. He corrects us from time to time. And I remember back in the day, I've shared this before in messages. I remember we used to get a whooping every now and then, and I didn't like whoopings at all. I really didn't. I think one reason I didn't like whoopings is because I didn't want to disappoint my mother. Another reason I didn't like whoopings because they were painful. Amen. They hit the spot, right? They did what they were supposed to do. And I didn't like those, but I'm so thankful that my mom chose to reinforce the boundaries that we were living in. And oftentimes chastising, oftentimes correction reestablishes the boundaries so children know how far they can go and how far they cannot. And that comes from God. It comes from God. Why? Because he chastens us. And the thing about it is, he doesn't chasten those that he doesn't know. He doesn't, in fact, he doesn't chasten those that are not his. He only chastens those who are his. And that's a good thing. Remember, there are times that I got whoopings and my friends were over and my mom never embarrassed us like publicly, but my friends knew kind of what happened. You know what I mean? From time to time, they kind of knew, "Ooh, Yancey, you got in trouble, man. You got a whooping." And you know, they would kind of tease me about that, but my mom never whooped somebody else's kids. No, and neither does God. What he'll do is he'll only correct those who are his. In fact, the Bible says, and if we don't receive correction from him, we don't belong to him and are illegitimate. So here, the correction that mothers are to initiate comes from God, who corrects his children. And I know that there has been this wave. There have been waves of different kinds of ways of working with kids. Remember the timeout? Remember when the timeout came out? And Jackie and I were younger parents at the time, and the timeout came out. And we didn't know nothing about timeout. There was never timeout in my home. There was go get the belt. You know, it was you're gonna get a whooping. That was it. So when timeout came out, people tried to make the conversion from spanking or we call it whipping, but it was spanking. My mom never abused us, and I really want to be clear about that. We were never abused. My mom, what's interesting is she never spanked us when she was angry. She was was right to the point, and we knew exactly what we were getting a whooping for. We knew exactly what was going on. And after the fact, we knew that mama loved us. We knew that everything was cool. One of the things I liked about that was once I got a whooping, we were good. I can go and jump on mama's bed. You know, we can do whatever we want to do. Why? Because it was already done. It was already, and I love that about God too, because once he chastises us, you know, it's all over, ladies and gentlemen. Some people think that God will hold things against you because people have held things against you. But God doesn't hold things against us. Once he chastises us, that's it. We learn our lesson and we move forward in Jesus' name. He's not going to bring it up again. Hey, remember, you did such and such and such. And see, this is what you did the last time. So here, let me get you again, just like I got you the last time. Now, that might be man, but that is not our God. And I want you to know that today. The Bible tells us that God separates us from our sin as far as east is from west. And I love this in that he says, I will write my laws in their hearts and in their minds. And they won't have to teach their neighbors saying, no, God, because I'm going to do that. And then he says, and their sins and iniquities, I will remember no more. It doesn't mean that he's absent-minded. It means that he will never hold it against us again. And I'm so thankful that even in the correction of God, it's not held against us again. So I remember my mom used to correct us, and I didn't want to let her down. And I think, I don't know, I guess you'd have to ask her, but I think I got less whoopings than most of my brother and sister. I don't know, but I tried not to, that's for sure, because I wanted to live the life that was right for our home. So number three, God chastens his children. Number four of five, number four, God leads his children. Look at that. God leads his children. And we find this in Psalm number 23. Look at what it says in Psalm number 23. The Lord is my what? Shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. And look at what happens here. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me, there it is again, in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This is so good for you and I to understand. See, God doesn't do the do as I say, but not as I do. How many of you heard that before? You may not have heard it from your parent, but some people say, oh yeah, well, do as I say, not as I do. And parents kind of pick up some bad habits and they'll like do the bad habits in front of the children and say, well, don't do what I'm doing. When you get older, don't do it. I remember there's things that I wanted to try. When I was 21, I couldn't wait to turn 21. Why? Because all adults around me were drinking at that time because that was the legal age for drinking, right? And I wasn't raised in the church, even though we had some Christianity in our background and I accepted Christ as a young boy. However, I walked away from the Lord and just began to do my own thing. And I remember when I turned 21, I wanted to drink. Anybody else out there? Anybody remember that? Oh, I see those hands out there. I see those hands. Yeah. And I wanted to, but I'm so thankful that even in that, God saw through that and brought me back to him. But the point here is we want to lead our children. Mothers, you have the capacity and the ability to lead your children. And all the more now because of our culture. Our culture is so anti-Christ. It's anti-God. It's anti-Bible. It's anti-morality. It's anti-ethical in many places. And as such, you as a mother have an opportunity to lead your children appropriately, to lead your children by not cheating on taxes, or lead your children by not lying on forms, or creating scenarios that are not true. You have an opportunity to lead them in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So number one, God feeds his children. Number two, God provides for his children. Number three, God chastens his children. Number four, God leads his children. And number five, God sacrificed for his children. Oh, this is so important. God sacrificed for his children. Some of you know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I like what Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says about this. But God demonstrated his own love toward us, in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Everybody see that there? See, while we were sinners, while we were stiff-necked, while we were hard-hearted, while our minds were made up to do other things, Christ died for us. And that death was a sacrificial death. He was the Lamb of God, John the Baptist said, that takes away the sin of the world. Here, Christ was the atoning sacrifice. That's what that theological term propitiation means. He was the atoning sacrifice, the sacrifice that satisfied God's judgment against mankind because of sin. It was satisfied in Jesus Christ. And as such, he was the sacrifice for you and for me. Oh, I think of many times over my lifetime that my mother sacrificed for us. It was natural and it was normal for her to put her needs under our needs, to put her needs behind our needs. It was customary, if you will. If there was ever a time that a decision had to be made, my mother made the decision to sacrifice whatever it is that she was doing or whatever it is that she needed or whatever it is that she wanted to do because of her children, in favor, let me say it this way, in favor of her children. And I don't know this. My mom and I, we never had like conversations about this, but I don't think she ever regretted a sacrifice that was made for the benefit of her children. Oh, in today's culture, I hear some things as my wife and I counsel with many couples. I hear some things from time to time that, I had to give this up for my child and I had to give that up. And some people see it as a deficit. They see it as things they had to stop doing. Oh, but I just want to let you know, it's not a deficit. It's an investment. Whatever you stop doing for your sake to do for your child or your children, you are investing in their future. Praise God. Oh yeah. I want to help you understand this. It's not a deficit when it comes to God. In other words, you're not in a red, you're not losing, but you're gaining. Whenever you choose to sacrifice something you desire, sacrifice what you want for the sake of your children. In fact, the Bible tells it to us this way, that Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, he sacrificed. He endured the cross, despising the shame. Remember that? And then he tells us to let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. There it is. See, he sacrificed himself and he became a servant, being fashioned in the likeness of man, and he became obedient to the point of death. Look at that. He became obedient to the point of death on the cross. Therefore, God has exalted him. See, he sacrificed himself, but in the end, not only has God exalted him and given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven, of things in the earth, and things under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is God, to the Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Not only that, see, in that would be enough. But then it would almost be like self-serving. But did you know, because he rose again, we will rise again. In fact, the Bible says he's just the first fruits of those who raised from the dead. And as such, through Jesus Christ, through his death, his burial, and resurrection, multitudes of people now will raise, multitude of people will live eternally with God. So it wasn't just for Christ in himself alone, but it was for you. And it was for me as well. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise the Lord. That is good. It's good to know that sacrifice, he didn't see it as a loss. Oh man, I got to go down here. I got to go. These people getting on the Father's nerves, and I got to go down here, and man, I'll do it. No. That wasn't his attitude. See, that wasn't his mind. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And I want to encourage you, mothers, for the joy that is set before you. You may have to make sacrifice, but do it in joy. Know that you are sowing seeds and that you are going to reap a harvest. I love what the Bible says. It says, they who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who goes forth bearing precious seed yet weeping, meaning you're doing things that it's difficult. It's hard. You're sacrificed. He who goes forth but bearing precious seed yet weeping shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with us. In other words, there's going to be a harvest of the seeds that you were sowing during the sacrificial time. Oh, glory to God. Somebody got that today. There's going to be a harvest that's going to be received through the sowing that you're doing during this sacrificial time. So I want to close with this. I want to close with a charge to mothers. And I want to charge future mothers first. Future mothers, seek the ideal of motherhood. Seek the ideal of motherhood. I like what Proverbs 18:22 says. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. See, the ideal of motherhood is motherhood within the confines of marriage. That's the ideal. And the ideal should still be sought, by the way. It should still be our goal, by the way. It should still be the intention of the believing woman, the Christian woman, the woman who proclaims the name of Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. The ideal is that you would seek to be married and you would have children within the context of that union. That is still the ideal. And I just want to give you an opportunity to praise the Lord for that ideal. Amen. See, that's still the ideal. Now, I know that many things happen, as I mentioned earlier, on that sin has come into the world and as such things are all haywire. I know that, but it's still the ideal. I remember when we were young, when we were children, and there was two things they did. They came out with these basketball hoops that you can buy for your home. Yeah, I know I'm dating myself, but they came out, you know, with the basketball goals and everything that you can buy for your home. And what's interesting, many of them had two settings. They had the child setting, which was really low. And then they had the adult setting, which I believe was the standard setting of most basketball goals. And here, if you were a child playing, then they would lower it for you and you would be able to shoot the hoops and so on and so forth. But if you grew up as a child, you wouldn't keep it on the lower rung. You want to actually have it set to the regulation height so you can learn how to shoot at the regulation level. I remember even when we were playing baseball, they would bring the bases in just a little bit. And for the little kids. And so the little kids would run around the bases and then they would extend it out to regulation size for the big kids. Well, let me just say this. When it comes to being a mother, don't lower the hoop. Don't bring the bases in. You run the regulation race. In other words, I want to encourage you to not allow society to determine what you decide to do, but allow the word of God. Now, remember, I'm talking to mothers or future mothers, and I'm talking to future mothers that name the name of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And if you do, do not subscribe to the culture. Do not subscribe to the fact all I need is the seed. And I can just make this work. Well, that may be true as far as biologically, but when we talk about biblically, when we talk about scripturally, when we talk about what's good for you, I want to encourage you to seek the ideal of motherhood. The ideal is in the context of marriage. See, Hebrews tells us this in Hebrews chapter 13, and some of you know this passage. Says this in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. It says, marriage is honorable among all and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. And guess what? That sounds like old-fashioned terminology. It sounds like old-fashioned scripture, but guess what? It's still the word of God. Regardless of how modern we become, God's word is still God's word. And I'm going to move down to current mothers. Let's talk to current mothers. I want to give a charge to current mothers today. I want to encourage you to own your role as a mother. Let me say that again. For you current mothers that are mothers, I want to encourage you to own your role as a mother. What does that mean? Well, they use this term now, lean into it. In other words, lean, espouse it, receive it, and receive it wholeheartedly, and own your role as a mother, because you are very influential in the lives of your children. Proverbs chapter 29 says this in verse 15, "The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." I want to encourage you to own your role. Look at Proverbs 22:6. It says this, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." You see that there, mothers? I want to encourage you, own your role. And I'm not saying this in a negative way. I'm saying this in a positive way. Teaching should come from the home. The extension of education comes from the school, but teaching comes from the home. And your child should receive what they receive right there from the home. And you send them out to school to get the academics, if you will, to get the three R's. I don't know if they call it, what they call it, STEM now, science, technology, something, math, and art. So you get those from the school, but teaching, see, it all should happen at home, and your children should receive what they receive at school from the context, or within the context of the teaching that occurs in the home. I just want to give a mother a shout out that I'm familiar with. Because I remember when they made this decision, she made a decision to homeschool her son. And before she made this decision to homeschool her son, she was going up to the school. And, you know, she was there in the classroom, even though she had work to do. See, she sacrificed. There it is again. She sacrificed. And then she went up to the school. The times that the son knew she would be there, she was there. And she was there times that he didn't know she would be there. She wanted to make sure he succeeded in his school. And it seemed as though they just couldn't find a good match. So you know what she decided to do? She decided to homeschool her son. She did. She decided to homeschool her son, to bring it. And she, I remember we prayed several times, and she started, you know, involving herself with the curriculum and, you know, learning what the curriculum was like and learning what the structure is for homeschooling and learning that there's an entire homeschool community. And she started tapping into the community, and she started discovering how her son would be judged as far as his scores and his academics. And do you know, she included the son in the decision. And once he said, "Okay, Mom, I'm willing to give this a shot," they've been homeschooling, and I have seen this son blossom. And he's been blossoming because his mother took the time to understand that teaching comes from the home. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, that's good. That's good. Teaching comes from the home. So I want to encourage you, current mothers, don't subscribe to the culture that says just ship them out. Now, I know that there may be influences that you have to contend with. It may be the influence of having to work and be a parent. It may be the influence of single parent. And let me just say this here. I mentioned that we don't want to evade or not see the ideal. The ideal is within the context of marriage, but we know that that ideal is not the goal for many people. And sometimes it happens in ways that you didn't anticipate, and you may find yourself a single parent. In fact, one of the largest growing populations in our country is single parent women, or single women that are parenting their children. And so we're not saying that the ideal is the only way. What I'm saying is, even if you find yourself as a single parent parenting your children, I want to encourage you, current mothers, do what you can to teach them. Do what you can to train them up. Do what you can. Don't believe society who says you're not successful unless you're measuring that success by society's rules. I want to encourage you. You know what? You don't have to have the latest and greatest things. You really don't. Some people think you got to buy your children the latest phone and the latest gadget and have them connected to social media in ways because all the other children are doing it. Well, let me let you know, you're not raising all the other children. You're raising your son, your daughter, your children, and you have the ability to influence your children in ways that bring them up healthy, to bring them up whole, bring them up with your identity imprinted in them. Praise God. So I want to encourage you that. And then I want to say this for senior mothers. These are mothers that have raised their children, and their children are adult children now, and senior mothers have got grandchildren now. Senior mothers, I want to encourage you to model godly living. Model godly living to young generations. Look at Titus here, and Paul is writing to Titus because some things are going on, but I love how he frames this admonition. He says this, "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine." And look at what he says that's proper for sound doctrine. "That older men be sober, irreverent, temperate," that means self-control, by the way, "sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older woman likewise, that they be reverent in behavior." You see that there, the older women, our senior women, "that they would be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things." See, there it is again. They're not spreading gossip. See, they're not slandering people, but they're being a positive influence in their community. Look at what he says here, "that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children." See, there we have some great models, even in our congregation. Let me just say it this way. There's some two-parent mothers in our congregation, and there's some single-parent mothers in our congregation, and both have done great jobs with their children once they came in contact with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They say, "Oh, you know what? I may have been doing this wrong, but I'm going to do it right now." And God took them from where they were, and he made them who they have become now. And they're great examples right here in our congregation. You may see some great examples in your community. Look at what he says, "that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet." Oh, hallelujah. Can't we use that nowadays? Some people just share TMI, too much information. That's stuff that's going out that really shouldn't go out. So senior mothers, help the younger mothers out. Help the younger women out. Hallelujah. Now, when we get to Father's Day, we'll talk about that too, but today's Mother's Day. So be discreet, teaching them to be discreet, to be chaste. See, that means to keep your body. To be homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. You know, if we were to look in some people's houses today who say they are believers and see how they are living, sometimes it seems as though the word of God would be blasphemed because they've adopted the standards of the culture rather than living the standards that are found in scripture. So I just want to encourage you mothers. And before I close, I'd like to read something here. This comes from John Killinger's book, Lost in Wonder, Love and Paradise. And it includes the following affirmation. "I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who was born of the promise to a virgin named Mary. I believe in the love Mary gave her son, that caused her to follow him in his ministry and stand by his cross as he died. I believe in the love of all mothers and its importance in the lives of the children they bear. It is stronger than steel and softer than down and more resilient than green sapling on the hillside. It closes wounds. It melts disappointments and enables the weakest child to stand tall and straight in the field of adversity. I believe that this love, even at best, is only a shadow of the love of God, a dark reflection of all that we can expect of Him, both in this life and the next. And I believe that one of the most beautiful sights in the world is a mother who lets this great love flow through her to her child, blessing the world with the tenderness of her touch and the tears of her joy." Let's pray. Father God, thank you for what our eyes have seen spiritually, for what our spiritual ears have heard, and for what has entered into our hearts today by way of your Spirit. Thank you for mothers, Lord, and for encouraging mothers today. I thank you, Lord, that the pattern of motherhood comes from you. The characteristics of motherhood comes from you. That these mothers, though they know you or not, you still imprinted in them, if you will, the means of being a protector, for being a provider, for being a teacher, for being a corrector, for being able to encourage their children. And we thank you for that. I pray for the mother that's struggling today, Lord, because they may be estranged from their children or from their child. I pray that you would encourage her heart, Lord, that you would draw her to you, for you are the God of all comfort and you are the Father of mercies. Have mercy in that situation. I pray for mothers, Lord, that may have lost their children. We know that there's people that have lost people to the lost children, excuse me, to the Corona 19 pandemic, to that virus. And I pray that you would comfort their hearts, Lord. We pray for mothers that have children maybe incarcerated or in group homes or in institutions, Lord, across the country, that you would encourage them this Mother's Day, Lord, and that they would draw nigh unto you, draw close to you, Father. I pray, Lord, for mothers that are co-parenting. They're estranged from the father of the children or child, but they're co-parenting, and I pray that you will give them wisdom to work through those issues, Lord, and still maintain godly character, living by biblical principle. I pray for mothers, Lord, that are single parents, single mothers, that are so aware of many of the things that I talked about in this sermon. It's their life, Lord. They're living sacrificially. They're doing all they can for their children. And I pray, Father, that you would give them a harvest for the seeds that they've sown in the lives of their children. I pray that you would do that. I pray for the new mother, Lord, that has just received a child this year or recently, Lord, and they're parenting either infants or toddlers, Lord. Give them your wisdom and let them know the significance of everything that they do, even though the child may be at that age, that they're still impressionable, Lord. I pray for the mother that is raising teenagers, Lord, or teenage son or daughter, that you, Lord, would give them wisdom, that you would give them a heart of understanding, Lord, and that they would seek not to be their friends, but to be their mother, that they would be able to guide their young teenagers in the ways that they should go. I pray for mothers that are part of a two-parent family, Lord, where the father is there as well, that you would give her wisdom, Lord, as to how to navigate those relationships, Lord, fully complying with you and the role that you've given her, Lord. I thank you for that. We pray for mothers, Lord, of adult children that have gone on, both single mothers and mothers that still have spouses, but their children are going on and they may be empty nest mothers, Lord. I pray for them that you would help them to find significance in other ministry that you have prepared for them and that they would walk in that ministry, Lord. Pray for those senior mothers, Lord, those senior mothers that are saying, you know, I don't know what God wants me to do now. I've done this and I've done this for so many years and now there's some things that I used to do I just can't do anymore. And I don't know what God wants me to do. I want to encourage you. Trust him. Look at opportunities that he'll even give you. You may not even have to leave the home to minister the way God wants you to minister to others. It may be to your grandchildren or great-grandchildren or to your children or maybe to children in the community or people in the community. It may be to adults in the community and you have such great wisdom that they just come by and have coffee with you and you have conversation and the wisdom of God just flows from you to them. Oh, I want to encourage all mothers on the call, all mothers in our meeting today, all mothers in this service. I want to encourage you, trust God. with all your heart and allow Him to continue to mold and shape you, being the mother that He desires you to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. God bless you all.
Making impact. We're making impact.